technically correct, because Jesus is always here, but if Jesus were to physically walk through our doors, and if he were to come in and say, hey, play me a little song, what would you do? And individually, right? Individually, just so you know, I gave them a heads up. This is not spur of the moment. That would have been mean. Okay? Andrew, what would you do? Nice. Very good. Very good. Thank you. Thank you for that. Bill, how about you? What would you do if Jesus walked in and said, Bill, play me a little something? Very nice. Thank you. Thank you. You know, it's funny. Some of you may have heard this story. The first time Bill came to our church, very first time ever, he approached Tim and said, hey, can I play on a worship team today? I have my mandolin. Tim and I had to work through a process of how we'd answer that question in the future. Bill, that was wonderful. Tim, if Jesus walked in and said, Tim, play me a little something, what would you do? Thank you. Thank you, guys. I really, really appreciate that. I know you put thought, I know you put prayer into that. And what a daunting idea to have Jesus walk in and say, hey, play something for me. Thank you. You guys go ahead and be seated. So last week, if you were here, you got to, I told you that I had two regrets in life. Anybody remember them? The first one was selling my classic Mustang. Thank you. Those that were here, listen. Yes. And the other one was missing an opportunity to dance with Abby, right, on our 10th anniversary, night two of our cruise. As I was thinking about this week, as I was reflecting on what I'd be sharing and thinking back to last week, I realized that I actually have a third regret. And we're not going to do this every week where I, you know, build on it. All right, I'm going to stop at three. But I have a third regret, and it also happened when I was in high school. From about seventh grade on, I played the trumpet. I'd never played growing up, but, you know, when the band instructor comes in at the first day of seventh grade and says, who wants to play? You get a missed class. Right? Me and half the class went out and played, and I enjoyed it. Man, did I enjoy it. Seventh grade on, and I got pretty good. I never made first chair. I got to second chair, but I got good enough to make the all-state band a couple of years. Sophomore year, junior year. I enjoyed music. I actually wanted to be a band director when I grew up. Thank you, Lord, for not letting me be that. Whew, my goodness. Wrote an accompaniment to the Star-Spangled Banner, so sometimes the band director and I, who both played the trumpet, we'd go and we'd play at different ball games. He'd play the lead, I'd play the little background. It was fantastic. Loved it. So I started with this like junior high rental trumpet. But then as I improved, I ended up buying this beautiful, beautiful professional model trumpet. And it almost played itself. This rich sound, it probably should have played itself. This rich sound, it was full, it was fantastic. We were going places. Until one Friday night during a football game, I got kicked in the lip. Somehow through the face mask, I got kicked in the lip. And it was the weekend before the All-State Band competition. I couldn't even hit the tuning note that next weekend, but it was All-State, so I had to go. And in going, I didn't allow the lip, the embouchure, the muscles in the lip to heal, and thus all of my upper register, any high notes, which I was never great at, but I could hit them, those disappeared. It was disappointing, frustrating. It was hard. In fact, I got to the end of my junior year, and I was having so little fun that I was like, I'm done. Like, I'm going to stop playing. I think for the two classes a day that, you know, I was in jazz band and concert choir, I'm going to do swing or concert band, jazz band and concert. I'm going to start doing choir my senior year, right? It was an easy A, and it was a strategic A. I was keeping a 4 point at that stage. So I sang in a choir for my senior year, and at some point during that year, I convinced my parents and myself that it'd be a good idea for me to sell my trumpet. Because I was going to continue my musical career by singing in the car. And I needed that new stereo that cost money. So you get where I'm going with this. As I thought back over this time, the last 23 years or so, I've wondered, have I missed out on making music? More importantly, have I missed out on making music to Jesus? I mean, if Jesus were to have walked in the room today and said to me, after these three, what would you play for me? I wonder, would I have been able to? And what would I have played? I regret that, selling my trumpet. Let's pray. Father, this morning we are eager to hear what you have to say. We have stood in worship. We have prepared our hearts. And we know that you can speak in different ways and in different venues. We ask that you would speak to at least one of us this morning, maybe two, maybe three, maybe the entire group that's sitting here. But may we listen to whatever it is you have for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Grab your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm chapter 47. If you don't have one, there's a brown/maroon Bible in the chair in front of you. We're in week three of a sermon series that we've titled Praise God. Praise God. Well, we're looking at the seven different Hebrew words for praise. And we've looked at two of them so far. The first was yada. Say that with me. Yada. Anybody remember what that meant? Just show me what it meant. Right. To raise our hands, to extend our hands in worship. Last week, we looked at the word halal. Halal. Anybody remember what that meant? Go ahead and stand and show me. Right? There's two of us, brave enough to dance, right? Clamorously foolish. This morning we look at our third word, and this word, I've told you guys before, if you ever see a repeated word in Scripture, you know, a same word back to back or close to it, pay attention. Well, if you see that same word used more than once, pay close attention. This morning we get to see a Hebrew word, and it's the same in English, used four times, back to back to back in one verse. So let's take a look at it. Psalm 47, verse 1 starts like this. Come, everyone, clap your hands. Shout to God with a joyful noise. You ever wonder why I poke fun at you sometimes when we can't clap? It's right here. We're supposed to. All right? Come, everyone, clap your hands. Shout to God with joyful praise. The next verse says this. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is the great King of all the earth. For he subdues the nations before us, putting our enemies beneath our feet. He chose the promised land as our inheritance, the proud possession of Jacob's descendants whom he loves. Okay, now pay attention. Three more verses and we're going to get to that verse with the repeated word. Verses 5 through 7. God has ascended with a mighty shout. The Lord has ascended with trumpets blaring. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. And verse 7, for the God is King over all the earth. Praise him with a song. Now, you had to have seen it. Verse 6, it was pretty evident. I think we can put it up there. In the Hebrew, it reads like this. Zemeru Elohim, Zemeru, Zemeru, Lamalkanu, Zemeru. The root word, the root Hebrew word there is Zemer. Zemer. We translate it as, not a trick question, okay, confidently, praise. Sing praise, right. So the word praise, literally here in the Hebrew, means to make music. It means to celebrate with a song. It means to put your fingers on the chords of an instrument, to touch an instrument. Speaking of this verse, one commentator says the repetition of Zemer shows that the author's heart is full to overflowing with music to the Lord. It's full to overflowing with praise. I want that type of praise flowing out of me, don't you? Thank you for the eight that do. Okay? Psalm 47:6. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. You know, with the other Hebrew words so far, we could translate them differently. Yada could mean to pull an arrow. It could mean to throw a rock. Or halal could mean to strive, to boast, to celebrate. With this word zamer, it's pretty straightforward. It means to make music. It means to sing a song. It means to play an instrument. And it's used 46 times in the Old Testament, 43 of those times in the Psalms, which shouldn't surprise us. Okay? Who was the author of a lot of these Psalms? David. Now, David was this shepherd-turned-farmer. Wait, no. He was a shepherd-turned-king, turned-military hero, turned-stud, right? Somebody say yeah. Yeah. What was he before he was all that, though? The harpist! A musician! Before all of that, he was a harpist. In fact, one of the first times we see his name mentioned in Scripture, just listen to this, 1 Samuel chapter 16. Now the Spirit of the Lord had left Saul, who was the current king. And the Lord sent a tormenting spirit that filled him with depression and fear. Some of Saul's servants said to him, Saul, music moves you. A tormenting spirit from God is troubling you. Let us find a good musician to play the harp whenever the tormenting spirit troubles you. He will play soothing music, and you will soon be well again. All right, said Saul, find me someone who plays well and bring him here. Verse 18, one of the servants said to Saul, one of Jesse's sons from Bethlehem is a talented harp player. Not only that, he's a brave warrior, a man of war, and good judgment. And he's a fine-looking young man. The Lord is with him. Verse 23, whenever the tormenting spirit from God troubled David, David would play the harp, and Saul would feel better again. The tormenting spirit would go away. Music has a way of moving us. David knew this. In fact, he played it every day, is what 1 Samuel 18 says. David's heart, you could say, was overflowing, full to overflowing with praise. I mean, as is evidenced by how many songs he wrote. This was how he praised God. This was how he zamered God. Now listen to just a few of the 43 times David spoke or wrote or sang about praising God through music. Psalm 144, verse 9. David says, I will sing a new song to you, O God. I will sing your praises, that's zamer, with a 10-stringed harp. Now Psalm 30, verse 11 and 12. David says, you have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy. Verse 12, that I might zamer to you, that I might sing praises to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. Psalm 61, verses 6 to 8, add many years to the life of the king. May his years span the generations. May he reign under God's protection forever. May your unfailing love and faithfulness watch over him. Then I will sing praises, zamer, to your name forever as I fulfill my vows each day. Zamer. David overflowed with praise, and it was a very specific type of praise. It was making music that flowed out of him. That's good, right? Just say yes. That's good. David used his gifts for the Lord, and those gifts were making music. Let's be candid with one another. Some of you are gifted in singing. Some of you are gifted in playing musical instruments. Others of you, myself included, aren't. I want to speak truth. Okay? Don't take it wrong. John says thank you. All right, those of us aren't, you know, when the psalm says make a joyful noise to the Lord, that's like, I can join in on that part. Yeah. All right. Whether you're good or bad, it doesn't mean you shouldn't zamer. In fact, I think we should zamer. Your tone deaf doesn't matter. Can't clap doesn't matter. Choose to never sing in public doesn't matter. We should still zamer the Lord. We may not give you a microphone and put you on a worship team, but God's going to love it. Okay, he's going to love it. And if he's going to love it, then we get to ask when and where and when and how should we zamer? Not if, but when. And I'm going to give you seven times that we should. There's actually seven blanks in your bulletin. Kids, if you're filling this out, this will be your kids' bulletin. Seven whens and hows to zamer. The first is this. It is good, it is right to sing praises to God in times of celebration. Times of celebration. Last week we talked about King David bringing the Ark of the Covenant from Obed-Edom's house into Jerusalem. Now that Ark was a box that was gold-plated, that was where God's presence resided as they wandered around the wilderness and as they built the tabernacle and later the temple. It was an important thing, okay? And when David brought the Ark into Jerusalem, it was a celebration. We saw him dancing, halaling before the Lord last week. Now, he was so excited by this celebration that guess what he did? Not a trick question. Remember, he's a musician. Guess what he did? He wrote a song. And he gave it to the people who were going to be leading in worship. He wrote a song, gave it to Tim, and said, Tim, lead the people. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 7. On that day, David gave to Asaph and his fellow Levites the song of thanksgiving to the Lord. And it said, give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Let the whole world know what he has done. Sing to him. Yes, sing praises. That's zamar. Tell everyone about his wonderful deeds. Exalt his holy name. Rejoice, you who worship the Lord. And he goes on for like another 36 lines. David sang a song in a time of celebration. If you look throughout the scriptures, you see a lot of people singing. Moses bust out into song. Miriam went falsetto. David wrote a whole bunch. Even Jesus' mother Mary, when it was time, she sang. These were all times of celebration. It's really no different for us today, is it? When there's times of celebration, music often happens. Basketball fans in here? Yes? March Madness. Okay, you get 3.5 weeks of basketball. It's like the best time of the year. And on that final game, the two teams play, a championship happens, the team wins, they get a cut down to the nets. The last thing that the TV program does, ABC, CBS, CBS I think it is, the last thing CBS does before finishing this 3.5 week wonderful tournament, what do? They play music. One shining moment. It's because it's a time of celebration. Now, if we can celebrate God because of a basketball championship, shouldn't we all the more zamar God? In times of celebration, we should. Okay, that's the first line. Second time is actually kind of on the other spectrum. We should zamer God in times of fear. Times of fear, or relief from fear. If you know the story of David at all, you know that he and Paul didn't always get along. It's an understatement. There was quite a long time where Paul was paranoid. Saul was paranoid, and he was chasing after David, trying to kill him. So in those times, several people believe that David wrote a couple of the Psalms. Psalm 27, while he's being pursued, says this, for he, God, will conceal me when the troubles come. He will hide me in his sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. Then I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. At his sanctuary I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. I mean, David had to be afraid, and yet he's still talking about a zamering God. Psalm 57, also believed to be written, this one while he was in a cave hiding from Saul. My enemies have set a trap for me. I'm weary from my distress. They have dug a deep pit in my path, but they themselves have not fallen into it. My heart is confident in you, O God. My heart is confident. No wonder I can sing your praises. Wake up, my heart. Wake up, O lyre and harp. I will wake the dawn with my song. I will thank you, Lord, among all the people. I will sing your praises among the nations. In the narrative account of what's going on here in the story in 2 Samuel, when David was finally rescued for the final time, David did what we know he likes to do. He wrote a song, and it was long, and the 50th line in the song says this, For this, O Lord, I will praise you among the nations. I will sing praises. I will zamer to your name. Do we ever sing when we're afraid? Sometimes. I mean, last night, Abby and I were laying in bed, and the thunder happened, right? Lightning and thunder. And she looked at me and said, did your parents ever, you know, tell you things to kind of, you know, this was happening to ease any fear? And I don't know. Her parents used to tell her God was moving the furniture. That's genius. Genius. Now, what happens so often when a kid wakes up and they start crying because they're afraid? A mom or a dad comes in, puts their hand on the kid, and does what? They sing a lullaby. And if a song can calm a kid's fear, how much more should we zamer when we are afraid? Okay, that's the first two, times of celebration, times of fear. This next time, maybe kind of surprising, but we're going to go with it. We should zamer when the adrenaline is pumping. We should zamer when you... Tommy, how many people sing when you're working them out? No one. One of my favorite stories in the Old Testament is the story of Deborah. Okay, not just because that's my twin sister's name, but because she was awesome. Okay, one of the stories in Judges chapter 4, she's a military leader, and she orchestrated a chance for her army to fight this other army, right? It was fun to read the little orchestration that was taking place. And her army starts winning, so they start chasing the other army. They're killing them as they go. You can see why this is a favorite of mine. Okay, and the army commander for the losing team, the losing army, goes in and hides in this tent. It's the tent of Jael. Yeah? Anybody know the story? A couple of you do. It's fantastic. I love it. Had we had a girl, we would have named her Jael. Okay? The army commander's hiding in this tent. Jael means blessed are you amongst women who live in tents. Okay? And Jael gets a tent peg. She takes care of the king, or the ruler. Just like that. You can read the whole story. We won't go into more detail than that. Okay? But I was reading that story this past week, and I was just, you know, mind blown when I realized Deborah had been part of this army that was chasing. She was swinging a sword. There was blood flowing through her veins. The adrenaline was pumping. And when she finds out that this other army commander is now dead, you know what the first thing she does is? She sings a song. She sings a song. Verse 3 of that song says this: "Listen, you kings, pay attention, you mighty rulers, for I will sing to the Lord. I will make music to the Lord, the God of Israel." Her heart is still beating fast, and she's talking about making music when the adrenaline is pumping. I've run a couple of marathons, and one of them was at the end of an Ironman in Boulder, and at that one, I was done. I was wiped out by the time I got to that point. I was physically, emotionally, spiritually exhausted. I started to walk. I was ready to give up, and a worship song that I'd heard that day came into my head. Slowest song could have possibly been. I mean, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. I mean, it was just like it could barely move along. But I started singing that or huffing that as I was moving. And wouldn't you know it, I think that song gave me what I needed to get through the finish line. I look back at that and I was zamering as best as I knew in that time when the adrenaline was pumping. Okay, next one. I think we've done three. We got four now. Here's number four. Zamer should happen spontaneously. It should happen spontaneously, out of the blue. A couple of psalms with this, also by David. Psalm 33, verse 3. "Sing a new song of praise to him. Play skillfully on the harp and sing with joy." Now, Psalm 144, 9, and we've already read this, we'll read it again. "I will sing a new song to you, O God. I will sing your praises with a 10-stringed harp." Now notice, neither of those talk anything at all about spontaneous. But I get that new song bit, and I think spontaneous. NBC has the show on this summer. It's called Songland. Anybody seen it? Couple people, yeah. Yeah, it's good, isn't it? The premise of it, you get four musicians that come and they play their original song in front of four superstars. And immediately they cut one of the songs out. And then the other three, they go back into back rooms with these superstars, and they collaborate on their song, and then it changes, and it morphs, and it tweaks, and they come back out, and those three sing their new song for this fourth superstar who who eventually picks a song, and then that star, that guy, that girl, releases the new song on the radio. Fascinating to watch it develop. I'm not sure that's what David was talking about when he talks about singing a new song, you know, collaborating with superstars. He could have been. But I actually think it was more him saying, look, if you're overflowing with praise, let it come out. Let it come out, even if you've never heard it before, even if you never sung it before. I mean, if you ever have the opportunity, whenever Christy's here midweek and wandering around with Thea, Thea knows this Zamer thing, this new song thing. She walks around singing songs that just out of the blue. It is amazing. I've only seen that happen one other time. It happened in the Slavic Seventh-day Adventist Church that we rent our facility to on Fridays and Saturday. I had gone to the service, I think, to make some sort of announcement about the partnership, and I didn't understand any of what they were talking about because it was in Russian. Those are the best church services to go to. Okay? And the pastor stands up, he starts to preach, and he's really getting into it, and all of a sudden this guy stands up, and he walks to the front, and he just starts to sing. He is belting it out, and it was beautiful. It went on for a while, and I thought, wow, I've never heard that one. It must be something, you know, from their country, from their culture, something like that. And I just soaked it all in. So I was talking to the pastor afterwards, and I said, that song was beautiful. Is that like a traditional one from your country? Just starts laughing. He said, I had no idea what was going on there. What do you mean? He says, that wasn't part of our plan. He says, that guy apparently just felt led, nudged, you know, compelled by the Spirit to sing. And he got up and sang a new song. Phenomenal. Zamer should be spontaneous. In the middle of a sermon, if you want to stand up and sing, you have to come up and get a mic. Okay, but I'll let you do it. You just remind me of this. Okay? All right, let's review really quick just to make sure we're on the same page. We're looking at the Hebrew word zamer. It literally means to make music, to sing a song or to play an instrument. The person who used this word the most, 43 out of the 46 times, is King David in the Old Testament. Makes sense because he is a musician. And we are trying to figure out how can we join him in zamering. How can we join in singing a new song to the Lord? We've looked at four different things. This is to see if you guys were paying attention. The first is this. We should zamer in times of celebration. Thank you. Mike, you can come back anytime. Okay, the second, we should zamer God. We should sing in times of fear or relief from fear. Third, we should sing when adrenaline... Oh, I gave you the answer. Oh, I'm going to come back to that. Okay, you know the answer. Fourth is this. Spontaneous, perfect. And the third, when what is pumping? The adrenaline. Good, you guys have been paying attention. All right, that's the first four. Here's the next three. These will be a little bit more common to us, a little bit more familiar. Here's the next one. Maybe you don't have a great voice, okay? But maybe you're gifted instrumentally. Scripture tells us we should zamer God with instruments. You know, trumpets, violins, drums, harps, any of these. In fact, Psalm 33, verse 2, praise the Lord with melodies on the lyre, make music for him on the 10-stringed harp. Now, watch this. You don't have to be an instrumentalist to praise God with a musical instrument, okay? Follow me. Isn't that neat? I have been to so many churches that, you know, after a worship set, they're like, let's give God a praise offering. And I'm like, it's because zamer can also mean this. Psalm 47, verse 1, we saw it earlier. Come, everyone, clap your hands. Yeah. Thank you. There's our drummer. Thank you. Look, you don't have to be a world-renowned cellist or, you know, a concert pianist to do this. If you're learning an instrument, I'm convinced you can zamer God by playing scales. I mean, it's no wonder that, in fact, I don't know in the last 14 years that I've been here if we have ever just worshipped a cappella. I don't think that we have done that yet. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? But we use instruments because this is part of why, all right? So we should use instruments. Next one, number six, when and how we should make music to the Lord. It is good, it's fine, it's totally appropriate to zamer the Lord by yourself. by yourself. Psalm 7, verse 17. Listen to the I's in here. I will thank the Lord because he is just. I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Psalm 9, 1 and 2 says this. I will praise you. That word is actually yada. I will yada you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all the marvelous things you have done. And verse 2, I will be filled with joy because of you. I will zamer to your name, O Most High. Note the I, not the we. Many of us, myself included, feel most inclined to sing out loud when we're by ourselves. In the shower, in the woods, in your car with your window rolled up. Quieter when you come to a stop sign, unless you're really enjoying yourselves. If this is you, zamer away. Let it flow. Let it overflow from you. And if you ever see somebody singing in the car next to you, don't make a big deal about it because they might be zamering too. Okay. With instruments, by ourselves, and it makes sense then that it would be right and appropriate to zamer God in a group. In a group. Listen to the we's in these passages. Psalm 21, verse 23. Rise up, O Lord, in all your power. With the with music and singing, we celebrate your mighty acts. Psalm 30, verse 4. Sing praises to the Lord, O his saints. Give thanks to his holy name. See, O his thanks. There's a group, his saints. There's a group there. Next one, Psalm 66, verse 4. Everything on earth will worship you. Everything on earth will worship you. They will sing praises, sing your praises, shouting your name in glorious songs. There is something transcendent, something powerful, something holy when you actually hear a good choir sing together. Okay, the choir that I, as a senior, sang in, but the first time I heard a really good choir live was the first time I ever saw Abby sing. Fall of 1997, she was with the Whitworth Concert Choir. It was at St. John's, and they were doing a Christmas concert. The first note out, I was in awe, because I had never heard anything like that. That was zamer in a group, and it was powerful. Okay? Making music with instruments, making music when you're by yourself, making music as a group. This, I think, finishes up all the blanks on your bulletin, all the lines, so it would be a good time for me to finish my sermon, wouldn't it? Woo! Well, look, we can't talk for 20, 25 minutes about zamering God and then not do it, can we? No! Tim, I'm going to invite you and a couple of singers back up. We're gonna zamer together in a way that's not our normal and in a way that's slightly uncomfortable. We're going to do around. Yeah. So I believe we're going to be divided into three, right? And these are pretty easy sections. We got a section here, section here, and a section there. I am going to turn my mic off.
Oh, come on.
While I zamer the Lord, and you take us away.
All right. We have done this song a couple of times before, so it might be familiar to some of you. To others, it's composed of three different hymns, so it should be pretty familiar to a lot of you. The first one, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. Second one, Oh, When the Saints Go Marching In. Third one is a little less familiar. I'm going to sing, sing, sing. So this section over here, we're going to start with Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. All right? So I'm going to start playing. Andrew is going to lead you guys in that song.
Swing low, sweet chariot.
Nice and loud.
Coming for to carry me home. Sing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home.
All right, you guys, that was pretty good. All right, so the middle section. You guys are going to follow me, and we're going to sing Oh, When the Saints.
Oh, when the saints go marching in. The saints go marching in. Oh, how I want to be in that number. Oh, when the saints go marching in.
All right, that's this last section you're going to sing. I'm going to sing, sing, sing. Follow Eric.
I'm going to sing, sing, sing. I'm going to shout, shout, shout. I'm going to sing, I'm going to shout. Praise the Lord. When those gates are open wide, I'll be sitting by Jesus' side. I'm going to sing, I'm going to shout. Praise the Lord.
All right, you guys got your songs, your verses there? All right, so we're going to all sing together. This song, this side follow Andrew, middle follow me. You guys follow Eric.
Sweet, 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 sweet,
sweet, sweet, sweet, sweet, sweet,
sweet, sweet, sweet, sweet, sweet,
sweet,
sweet, sweet, sweet, sweet, sweet, sweet, coming for to carry me home. Love me, Syria. Coming for to carry me home.
In the seas,
watching Syria.
Coming for to carry me home.
Have I bowed to
be
Syria? Coming for to carry me home.
One more time.
Over the seas, watching Syria.
Over
the
seas,
watching Syria. Praise the Lord.
Oh, have I bowed
to be in the
Syria?
Over the seas,
watching Syria.
Praise the Lord.
Beautiful.
Hey, that was fun. That was fun. Listen, I started off this morning saying, I regret selling my trumpet, right? And I wonder what I would have played if Jesus were to walk in. Well, I happen to have a borrowed trumpet. So, I think I figured out what I would play. Okay, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to face you guys, because if this bombs miserably, I don't want to, well, you know what? I don't care if you guys, I'm not playing for you. I'm going to zamer to the Lord. Christy, do you mind killing my mic? This one. Already know the words.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh, my soul, rejoice. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh, my soul, rejoice, take joy.
God. Amen. Say that with me. Praise God. We're learning what it means to praise God. Today's word was zamer. It means to make music, and we're doing that together. This week, I'd encourage you, find time to make some music. March to the beat of whatever drummer you want, as long as you're marching before the king. Tap a pencil, turn the radio up, blow the dust off your high school instrument. If you want to sing, sing out loud. Let's do this and praise the Lord together. Let's stand. We're going to sing the doxology because it is full of praise.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Definitely praise God. Hey, a couple things. One thing to be praying for. Kendra's friend, Jessica, just went into labor. So if you want to pray for her throughout the day, that would be great. Gideons are going to be standing in the back with their Bibles open. Feel free to give a little bit.